This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
Time again for our weekly catch-up with RNIB Chief Executive Matt Stringer here on RNIB Connect Radio to talk about what's been happening around the organisation and, of course, news and topics relating to life as a blind or partially sighted person. Hello, Matt, and thank you for joining me this week.
Hi, Toby. Lovely to speak to you.
Matt, we should probably start this week with a bit of sort of employment news. Not only has Amy become an RNIB Visibility Better Employer, there's been other news around employment for blind and partially sighted people.
Yes, that's right. The all-party parliamentary group on eye health, which Marsha de Cordova chairs, and we and Thomas Pocklington Trust help sort of underwrite, and good close friends of Marsha, just launched an inquiry into employer attitudes. And so I'd encourage people to engage with that. And, you know, we know as we're going into this sort of survey that employment can be a big challenge for visually impaired people to get into employment. And often that comes from a degree of slight detachment and ignorance on the part of employers who don't actually quite know what to do and how to go about it, as opposed to consciously not wanting to employ visually impaired people. And I think there's a quote in Marsha's launch of this inquiry that says blind and partially sighted people are being held back by low levels of understanding among employers. And, you know, we know we're in, you know, for all the economic challenges we've got, cost of living challenges, and we are actually in an era of pretty full employment. You know, people are wanting to employ people. There's still about 1 million vacancies in the country, theoretically. And we know there are somewhere between 10 and 15,000 visually impaired adults who would love to work. And it just seems an absolute nonsense that we can't match, you know, the vacancies and the opportunities to have a fulfilling career, you know, with those visually impaired and people of other disability as well. This goes beyond probably visual impairment, really, getting into work and being a, you know, contributor to society and a contributor to the economy. So, you know, Marsha's report that she's talked to includes a lot of stats. We know only one in four visually impaired people who want to work, and it's about one in nine of people who are registered blind. So it's a challenging landscape still for all the work we've done, but one of great opportunity. And I think then maybe, you know, turning it to maybe the good news side of this is, you know, we've been working very hard in the last year or two now on trying to get employers signed up to Visibly Better Employer Standards, which is being much more insightful and savvy about all the things that an employer needs to do to be able to recruit and bring in, you know, visually impaired employees. And that's, you know, recruitment, induction, use of technology, physical environment, working rhythms in a sort of post-COVID era, you know, to make sure that, you know, visually impaired people can, you know, properly contribute and participate at work, you know, in a way that's equal to sighted colleagues. And so we have a program of getting people signed up to that. And the good news is we've had a big employer, Amy, signed up this week, who do a variety of things in sort of service provision and construction. And they're a big employer, so it's great to have them signed up. And we know this year we're now nudging about 600 visually impaired people that we've helped into work. We always have a good track record of helping people who have a challenge to retain employment, but we're now as equally on the front foot. We've done a lot of stuff with access to work, training of civil servants and things that have helped lubricate that a bit. But I think the good news story is getting more and more employers signed up.
Well, keeping with employment at the moment, if you have an employer which you think might be up for the Employer of the Year in the RNIBC Differently Awards, the deadline has now been extended to midnight on Sunday, the 11th of February. And I think although there's been quite a lot of sort of nominations in so far, they're still looking for people for the Employer of the Year and Design for Everyone Award as well, Matt.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the See Differently Awards are out now. The nominations have extended them by a couple of weeks, I think, to the 11th of February, another week or so to go, 10 days or so for people to nominate. It's our big awards ceremony. We do it every 2 years, and it's a great platform to celebrate, you know, visually impaired people and their contribution, their achievements. 7 categories for people to nominate to, and there's a Lifetime Achievement Award that we provide on the night, and there will be, I think, between 300 and 400 people there actually at the awards ceremony, which will be a bit later in the spring. And it's great that the RNIB can provide that platform to celebrate achievement for visually impaired people on a variety of categories. My only encouragement again to your listeners is to please nominate before the deadline, which has been extended to the 11th of February, I think. And it will be, you know, great to get some really brilliant nominations and have trouble, I think, trying to identify the winners before the awards ceremony in the spring.
And finally, Matt, we must sort of just briefly mention Michael Owen and his son, who have featured in a documentary, because obviously his son is visually impaired, and all about football and how he was, I think, training with the Great British team leading up to the IPSA World Games last year. But this is a great opportunity to sort of hear firsthand from Mark and his son about his life with visual impairment.
Yeah, Michael Owen, you know, very well known ex-England Liverpool footballer, you know, the best player of his generation, broke onto the scene when he was 18, I think, and scored a hatful of goals for England in the 1998 World Cup. His son James has Stargardt's disease, and, you know, they talk a lot about that and about James's journey and his love for football and how he's moved into the sort of, you know, visually impaired football, you know, sort of area, which we know well because of our previous employer, David Clark, who was England's probably most fated, you know, vision impaired footballer over the last couple of decades. And I think it's really a number of things to talk about, Tammy. I think, first of all, Michael Owen, you know, because of his sort of reputation, you know, not only in the game, but also as a known person in sort of British society. Clearly, it's a great platform. It's a great opportunity to talk about visual impairment. Clearly, he's talking about his son and his son's involved, James, who comes across incredibly well too, but it's just, you know, another opportunity to raise that awareness around visual impairment and get people to really think about it and then, you know, hopefully go and do something to sort of, you know, help support. Get linking back to our previous item, it might be you're an employer and you've sort of cottoned onto this through seeing Michael Owen and realize what you could do in your business to help, you know, support blind and partially sighted people into employment. But yeah, Michael is a good friend of the RNIB. He does a lot for a number of charities in the VI sector, actually. And it's great that this documentary is on TNT Sports. It came out a couple of days ago. I've seen various social media bits of it. I'm going to watch it this weekend, probably, actually. So, I it works on a number of levels. It's a great sports story. It's great that Michael Owen and James are using it as a platform to talk openly about visual impairment. And as you said, actually, there's a lot of coverage in the series about James taking part with the GB team before the IPSA World Games, which your listeners will remember was something that the RNIB was a sponsor for back in Birmingham in the West Midlands in the summer of last year. And I actually went and watched a bit of the visually impaired football with David Clark, actually. And Michael Owen's right. It's an incredibly skillful game, very exciting. And, you know, great that James has been able to sort of participate in that with his great love of football and clearly the heritage through his father.
Well, you will find a wide range of information and advice, including details about how to get into visually impaired sport and the RNIB See Differently Awards on the RNIB website, which is rnib.org.uk. You can always, of course, call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999 or use your Amazon smart device and ask dear old lady A to call the RNIB helpline too. Well, thank you very much indeed, Matt, for chatting with me this week here on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, Toby, my pleasure. Some interesting topics there, I think. And again, I just encourage your listeners to nominate someone for the See Differently Awards before the deadline ends. Thank you.